and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, as we live this Catholic life, so many of us are looking for ways and venues that really can expand and make us grow in our faith. And many times we're looking at whether we're going to go to a concert or maybe some type of conference, or we might have some particular speaker that really draws us into a presentation in the presence of the Lord. But whatever it is, we are always seeking some type of truth that allows us to grow in a richness of our faith and development of our Catholic Church. And I tell you, I am blessed today to have a group with us today that really is a powerful presentation. I have with me today in the studio, I have with me John Sherman, who is the development officer for the Catholic, the Dynamic Catholic Institute, part of the Matthew Kelly Group. And it's so wonderful to have you here, John. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Deacon Jim. Anxious to talk to you about what we're doing at Dynamic Catholic.
Oh,
it's an exciting place to be.
Well, we're tickled to death, and I know most of the people in our listening audience will absolutely know of your organization and Matthew Kelly, because it's been a great name around here, and we're so glad to have you here. And thanks for taking the time, because I know your schedule is probably frantic and hectic, and it's always hard to find an hour to put in.
Well, yeah, no, it's a good busy, and we're doing great work. I'm anxious to share more about it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, John, the one thing I do know is that when people are listening to somebody like you, it's important that they have an understanding of who you are, because that really brings authenticity to what you're talking about. So I guess my first question is, why don't you give us a little bit of background about you and your journey, and have you been a Catholic, a cradle Catholic, a convert? Tell us about it.
So I am I'm a convert to the faith. I'm a passionate Catholic. I became a Catholic 25 years ago in January.
And as I always say, welcome
home. 1989.
Yes.
So I just celebrated 25 years in the church, almost half my life.
Oh, my God.
And I was raised in a Christian home, and we went to church on a regular basis.
Okay.
I was raised a Methodist. My father actually was from Western Michigan, Kalamazoo. He's a farm boy.
Okay, not just down the street from us.
My
here.
Mom, who was in Detroit, and so both my folks are from Michigan, and I've got two siblings. But anyway, so we went to church regularly in the Methodist church, and but I wouldn't say that faith was at the center of our house. Although I was raised in the church.
Can I ask you a question before I go any farther?
Sure.
What was your, back then, if you can recall, what was your understanding of Catholicism back then? Or how did you view Catholicism? I mean, it's always interesting.
I had, growing up, I had one friend who was a Catholic, and I went to Mass one time before the age of 20. And, I didn't have any negative feelings about the church. You know, nobody soured me on Catholicism or spoke ill of Catholicism. I would just say that I was very ignorant about the practice, the Catholic practice of the faith.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a fair assessment, because unfortunately, that most of the negative comes out of an ignorance of who we are.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, very little exposure until I started to get very serious about my faith after college.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry, did you mention which college?
So I went to the University of Richmond in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
And after college, I started worshiping in an evangelical megachurch. So, I met Jesus in a very profound way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't feel like I was growing spiritually as I should be in the Methodist Church. And so I went to a very dynamic, young, evangelical church filled with a lot of young, devout, believers in Jesus Christ.
It was a,
great place at that time in my life. And I look back fondly on those days.
Of course.
And And through a friend, I met a group of Catholics, and one of those Catholics was an incredible woman who is now my wife.
Praise be to God.
And my wife and I start dating, this will give you a sense as to how secure my wife is in her faith. I think it was about the third date, Deacon Jim, when my wife said to me, "You know, John, you know, this relationship looks like it might have some potential." She said, "You know, you're a very serious Christian." She said, "You really need to understand something about me." Now, obviously, I knew my wife was Catholic, but my wife essentially said to me, "You know, my Catholic faith means everything to me. It's the most important thing in my life. It defines who I am as a person."
Yeah.
"And you can't change that about me. And you wouldn't want to even if you could."
Exactly.
And she essentially said to me, "You know, if our relationship has any future, you're going to have to get comfortable with the Catholic faith, and you're going to have to become Catholic."
Can I ask you another question, John? In saying that, it forms a question in my mind, and this is not derogatory, and this is meant to be loving to all our Methodist brothers and sisters and our evangelicals. But would that be an attitude that would be taken on by a Methodist or an evangelical about the strength of that type of faith? Where they wouldn't?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, it was very attractive.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, my wife knew who she was and could defend it, and because of that, you know, I had to respect her for that. And so, you know, I said to her, I remember, Deacon Jim, I remember saying to her, "You know, honey, you wouldn't even entertain the possibility of going to church where I go to church." And recognize, I was going to an incredible church, okay?
Of course.
You know, and she said, "You know, I couldn't do it." She said, "You need to do some homework. Basically, you need to do some research on the Catholic Church, and you need to understand what it means to be Catholic."
I think what she was telling you, she didn't say in some years, "I could never leave the Eucharist."
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even have known at that point what the Eucharist really was.
Of course, so it would have made no sense to you if she said that.
Yeah, so she spoke in more general terms, but essentially that set me on a journey. And I firmly believe that even if my wife and I had not gotten married, I would have become a Catholic. And I say today to, you know, every Christian I meet almost, you know, if you're a sincere Christian and you do an honest search for the truth, it will always lead you back to the Catholic Church.
That's true. But let me ask you this. At the time, John, did you feel you were missing anything?
I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
Okay.
You know, I've had a very strong relationship with Jesus Christ for all of my adult life.
Yes.
I know him as a person, and he influences, you know, most every decision I make. And but I learned as I became a Catholic that there's so much more to our faith than the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of our faith.
Yes.
But there's so much more to it than that.
So your wife gives you this draws a battle line. I won't say a battle line, but she kind of gives you an understanding that you're really going to have to see things her way if this is going to work out.
Right, in a very loving way, but that's essentially what happened, and so I met with a priest friend of ours regularly, and I came into the church in January of 1989, and she and I got married in June of that year.
I've got to ask you this: what were your biggest obstacles in developing into a Catholic? I mean, I know too that normally you're a stumbling block.
Yeah,
well, Mary, of course, and the Eucharist.
The church's teachings on Mary and purgatory were the ones that I had to research the most.
Okay.
And you know, I always tell people now who ask me, you know, if you have a question about the Catholic faith, just go to the Catechism, because every time I go there, I get an answer that makes perfect sense.
Isn't that the truth?
An incredibly reasonable answer. And
yes.
And the church's teachings are eminently reasonable. And as Catholics, as you know, reason is at the center of our faith. God doesn't expect us to check our reason at the door when we walk in the sanctuary, right?
Always. It's based on a reason and a logic that really brings us to an understanding of who we are as Catholics.
Right. So all the teachings around Mary are completely understandable in light of the fact that God chose her to be the receptacle for Jesus, our Savior.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and purgatory, too, that, you know, the teachings around purgatory make perfect sense.
Yeah.
In light of the fact that we worship an all-holy God, you know, to think that we would immediately go from this earth into his presence, it defies reason.
Well, and we even say that before we receive the body of Christ, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but
yes,
only say the word. So we're already acknowledging that we're not worthy to be in Christ's presence, but it's only his word. And the understanding of purgation is not a place, but it's a
process.
A process that we go through as being purgated to see the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, the church is very deep and it's very rich. And, you know, our ministry is focused on making it simple, but, you know, it's as deep as you want to go. And it's an incredible, you know, Matthew talks all the time about the genius of our faith.
Of course.
And it is truly a wonder.
It is.
And
I'm going
to
ask you this question.
To be a part of it.
You're on this journey. You're married in the Catholic Church. Obviously.
Married in the church, yep.
With a full understanding of the sacramental nature of what you entered into?
Totally.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. That is.
Yeah, I always say, I came into the... Part of the reason I'm involved in the ministry of Dynamic Catholic is because I came into the church eyes wide open as an adult. I knew exactly what I was getting into. And so for me, you know, I often refer to as the Catholic Church as the most powerful force for good on the planet Earth.
Amen.
And I really believe that, and if you believe that, you know, you're going to pour your heart and soul into making this church as vital and as influential as it can possibly be, because it's Jesus' church.
Yeah, it is. You know, and John, we take so much criticism because the church is slow-moving. We don't change our posture on moral values and truth. And the world, which is steeped in moral relativism, wants to dismiss the church because of being old-fashioned. And,
right.
And yet when we stand in the truth, it always becomes the source and summit of the truth in the world.
Yes, and isn't it interesting because, you know, you can look back on history, and you can see that the church in its prophetic, you know, teachings had the truth, you know, Humanae Vitae being the best example.
Of course.
I mean, look at now what we have wrought as a culture, mm-hmm, through artificial contraception and what it has done to the relationship between men and women.
Yep.
And the teachings of Humanae Vitae were just incredibly profound.
Exactly
prophetic.
What Humanae Vitae predicted has come true.
And it's just, unfortunately, that's the reality,
yeah.
and
we don't say
true.
That we don't say that to brag to see if we're right. We say that as a sense of loss and sorrow, because, you know, if people would only heed the wisdom of the church, so much could be avoided.
Totally.
So much could be avoided.
So true.
Yeah. So here you are now. You're this Catholic. You're married. Children.
Yes, I have four sons, and. They range in age from 10 to 20. My oldest is a college student in the Army.
Wow.
I got one in high school and two in grade school.
Oh, so you're at the busy age, too, then.
Yeah, they're the joy of my life. They all play basketball, and so it's a fun time of year.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, this is you're getting into the main time now.
That's right.
Oh, that's exciting. And your wife, do you travel much, Sean?
I travel a lot,
okay.
And so I'm the only person at Dynamic Catholic who does what I do,
okay.
And we have a national ministry,
okay.
And so the people who support us are all over the country.
All right.
And so I travel a fair amount and, juggle that with the home activities the best that I can.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is in a prior job that I had, I did a lot of traveling, and I know it's exhausting and it's time-consuming, and pretty soon you can lay your head down in one bed in one city and say, where am I?
I know.
Yeah.
That does happen. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you do forget where you're actually physically located.
Yeah, you have to look out the, or you have to look on the sheets in the room, some of the stationery, and see what place you're at.
That's right. Right, that's right.
Yeah. So,
I've been there, brother.
So how did you get to know Matthew Kelly and end up taking this position? First, did you have a job prior to this before you were working for Matthew?
Yeah, so I'll share with you for a moment.
Yeah.
So I had a long career in the financial services industry.
Okay.
I left a job at MetLife. I was an officer at MetLife.
Okay.
And left MetLife in 2010 and started my own business. I started my own insurance business in Cincinnati,
okay.
Ohio, which is where we live. My wife's from Ohio.
Now, we're not going to hold that against you.
Moved from New England to Ohio to get back to my wife's home.
Okay, now I just want to be sure, John, we don't hold that against you being Wolverines here.
I know.
Well,
you know, my dad is a Michigan grad, so you can imagine what it's like at the end of football season when the Buckeyes are playing the Wolverines.
Absolutely. Or even our Spartans.
There's a lot
even
of
our Spartans.
Sparks in my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm usually rooting for the Wolverines because everybody else in my family's a Buckeye. But so we're on the same team there. But anyway, so we moved to Ohio in 07. I leave MetLife in 2010, start my own agency business. And in 2012, I heard Matthew speak at a parish event.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that I've never heard a Catholic who spoke in such clear and direct and inspiring terms as Matthew Kelly.
Yes.
I felt, you know, no disparaging toward the church, but he sounded like a Protestant to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a Catholic, and he's a Catholic through and through, as you know. And but he spoke in very direct terms about the current condition of the church.
Yes.
And what we need to do to step up our game and, you know, restore the church to its former glory as a force in our culture.
You know, John, when I hear you say that, sometimes I wish, and I try, but I wish that would rub off a little bit at the ambo with some of the priests and the deacons, because, you know, sometimes when you speak the truth in love, everything isn't glamorous in the church, and things need to be addressed. And sometimes we fail to do that. And our tepidness just leads to tepidness in the pews.
Exactly. And, you know, if you've heard Matthew, you know, Matthew will can cite, you know, lots of data that indicates that, you know, we're in a place where, you know, a lot of people are leaving.
Yep.
They're going to evangelical churches. We're not effectively evangelizing our kids. And so they are leaving. And the fastest growing religion in America is no religion at all.
Isn't that sad?
You know, people are basically buying into the secular argument, and they're leaving all organized religion, not just Catholicism, but the mainline Protestant churches too.
And that becomes a problem for our nation also, because it really leaves us with not the a core value.
Exactly, and that's why I'm at Dynamic Catholic, because I'm a person who believes that people live their values.
Exactly.
They vote their values, they go to work with their values, you know, and that's what forms their worldview and the decisions that they make. And so increasingly, you know, as no surprise to anybody, you know, people's values now are more and more coming from the secular culture.
Of course.
And not from a foundation of faith. And so you get the world that we are now getting, you know, when you live secular values.
And
you know,
one of the biggest problems, too, John, is that people have lost the sense of an absolute truth. Everything is a moral relativism today, where they form their own truth, and they live in this convoluted sense of understanding what truth is.
Yes, and didn't Pope Benedict, you know, speak beautifully on that subject?
Absolutely.
But what a beacon.
Yeah.
And so so I really believe that if you want to change the world and the culture that you live in, it starts with people's faith.
Yeah.
And so evangelizing people, if you think about it, is really the best way to redeem the culture and to change the culture that we live in.
Exactly. And I have to say this in all honesty, and it kind of breaks my heart, but who's worse at evangelizing than the Catholics?
Well, and isn't it interesting, because we have the truth,
brother? I know.
And so, but, you know, it's easy to understand why that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're part of an ancient institution, you know, the longest human institution on the planet.
Exactly.
And sometimes you get a little bit stale and you rest on your laurels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but there's a lot of exciting changes happening in the church in the area of the new evangelization. And we feel like Dynamic Catholic is really at the forefront of a lot of what's going on, and it's very exciting. And, you know, we need to have hope. As Christians, we need to have hope.
Absolutely.
And we have the truth, and we just need to do a better job of helping people to understand it.
We do. And, you know, you summed up beautifully. We as Catholics, Christians, live in the hope, always in the hope. You know,
yes.
And now what we need to do is we need to get back to an understanding in our Catholic faith of having our young people not only understand the dynamics of the church, but entering into the mystery. And that's,
amen, brother.
That's one thing we don't articulate well to our youth is entering into that mystery, particularly at the Mass.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matthew says all the time, you know, if people really understood what the Eucharist was, they would never leave the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. But that's the reality of our world today is that we've missed the mark on that. And many of my friends who have left the Catholic Church never had an understanding of what it really meant to live fully in the church and to understand that. They would say, we have communion in our church. I say, no, there's a difference. We're a Eucharistic church.
Amen.
We're not
the same.
Yeah, we're not the same. And so when you finally start to define that, it starts to take on some life. But
yeah, it's a miracle. Every time we obviously participate in the Mass and receive the Eucharist, it's a miracle. We're participating in a miracle.
Isn't that wonderful? What a powerful thought that is.
Isn't it so too, Deacon Jim, that it's actually scriptural too?
Of course.
Our Protestant brothers and sisters, you know, obviously love to refer to Scripture, and it's great as a Catholic to be able to refer to Scripture in our defense of the Eucharist, isn't it?
Well, I had a beautiful man on here by the name of Dr. John Bergman one time, and he had been a Calvinist pastor, and he since has converted to Catholicism, and he's now an associate professor at Steubenville University.
Wow.
But I asked him, John, how did you get around John 6, the bread of life? He said, we skirted around it. We didn't talk about it much. Because when you can't identify it, then you don't talk about it.
Right. Peter Crave talks about that.
Well, yes.
And, you know, he wasn't willing to accept the answer.
Yeah. And that's part of the pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we all have it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now let me ask you this question. Many of our listeners know Matthew Kelly, and I know we just had him up at Rockford. And as I said, I think it's about 4 or 5 years ago, John, we had Matthew at our statewide Catholic Men's Conference at Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti,
sure.
Michigan. And we had about 4,000 men there, and, of course, Matthew Kelly was Matthew Kelly. He did a wonderful job of inspiring the men. But how did can you tell us more about yourself and Matthew Kelly and the ministry of the Dynamic Catholic?
Yeah, so I met Matthew Kelly at a parish event, and it took me a couple of months to get in front of him, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you got to go talk to this guy. And so I did. He's a very busy man, as you can imagine.
Of course.
And essentially, I went to him and I said, you know, I'm self-employed. I'm a passionate Catholic convert to the church. I said, you know, my boys mean everything to me. I want to make sure the church is more vibrant for them than it has been in the past. And I want to help, you know. And if I can help, use me, basically, is what I said.
I had
no preconceived ideas about what that might look like. I just said, I'm all in. If you can use me, I'm available.
You know, and
so,
I'm laughing because I'm hoping all the good salespeople out there are listening to this because you're what we call asking for the order. You're really going to with a heart full of love and really want to help him.
Really wanted to help him. I told him I would have stuffed envelopes if that would have helped. And so anyway, that started a conversation that lasted about 8 months, and we decided that there was a role, and so I am responsible for, I'm in the major gift position, so I'm speaking with, you know, donors who have the capacity to give larger sums
right.
to support our work, and that's what I do. I, you know, basically turned my insurance business over to somebody else. I did it gradually over time, starting in July of 2013.
Sure.
And, you know, as of January of this year, I'm now a full-time employee at Dynamic Catholic.
Oh, that's wonderful. So God was preparing you through your college, and you had sales experience, obviously, being in the financial institution.
Oh, yeah.
And he also had you get, with your financial background, helping Matthew Hilly develop this Dynamic Catholics.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, that financial services background obviously served me well in what I do now. And, you know, the insurance business is somewhat similar to asking people to support a cause that's bigger than themselves.
Yes.
Like insurance, people buy life insurance because they're, you know, they want to help somebody that's going to live beyond them. So
that's right.
It's very similar, and yeah, I agree. God he prepared the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I'm sorry. How long before did you start with Matthew?
So I started working with Dynamic Catholic in on July 15th of 2013. So
okay.
Just a little over a year ago, and so been there for 15 months now.
What would a normal day look like for you right now, John? What would a normal day for John Sherman?
I have the greatest job on the planet, Deacon Jim, because I just spend all day talking to people about my faith.
How wonderful.
And the work of Dynamic Catholic and why it is that people need to get behind what we do.
Sure.
Because the church, again, I believe, is the most powerful force for good on the planet. And if you want to change the world, if you want to improve the world that the kids, that your kids and your grandkids are going to inherit, you can't do it any better way than by supporting the work of the Catholic
Exactly.
Church.
Now, will you get in front of groups, or do you call individuals, or do you meet with individuals? I'm sure you probably had a lot of phone conversations also.
I do. I'm on the phone a lot, and I'm speaking with people one-on-one a lot. I do sometimes speak in front of groups, smaller
okay.
groups,
okay.
But most of my conversations are one-on-one with folks who want to get a better understanding of what we do.
And I would imagine it's not only Catholics.
It's primarily Catholic.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm talking to non-Catholics, but if you're going to support a ministry whose mission is to re-energize the Catholic Church, and mm-hmm. we're very clear about that,
good.
And re-engage disengaged Catholics, you're most likely going to be an on-fire, motivated Catholic.
Right, right. And well, it should be, because they're the ones that's going to be the philanthropists for our church.
And
I always said, God loves rich Christians. I mean, he makes them rich, and mm-hmm. and then it's their obligation to give back according to their need, according to what they can afford.
Amen.
And that really is it's a wonderful thing, because I've had my friends say, you know, he's rich. I said, yeah, but you know what? That's a wonderful thing.
Exactly.
As long
God
as
wants
he has,
to use that.
Yeah, as long as he has a heart for the church and a heart for God, we can use him.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. So now you're going about here. Tell us about the – I'd like to have the mission – really kind of state the mission and the vision of your organization and
sure.
what's going on with that.
Yeah, so our formal mission, and you can find all of this on our website at dynamiccatholic.com, but you'll look and see the mission of our organization is to re-energize the Catholic Church in America by developing world-class resources that inspire people to rediscover the genius of Catholicism.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful
That's
statement.
That's what we're all about.
That's a beautiful statement. And that really is what, like you said, Matthew Kelly goes around talking about, the genius of Catholicism.
Yes, the genius of our faith. It really is. Very rich and deep, and you know, we want to make sure people understand it, so we're often putting things in as simple a terms as we can, but boy, is our faith rich and deep, and you can live a lifetime, you know, learning about, you know, the richness of our faith.
Yeah, it dumbfounds me. I can open up a book every time on something about my faith, and I learn something new every day. You know,
every day.
Just when you think,
it's interesting. You know, I think, Jim, I hear Matthew Kelly speak on a regular basis, and every time I hear him speak, I hear something new,
that
I take away.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's incredible. And our vision, so the vision of the organization is to be an innovative leader in the new evangelization,
yeah.
helping Catholics and parishes become the best version of themselves,
yeah.
basically to grow in holiness.
Well, and of course, we know John Paul II, St. John Paul II, which I was privileged to be at his canonization in Rome, by the way.
That's awesome.
It was powerful. But when he talked about the new evangelization, he said two of the biggest problems in the Western society is moral relativism and failure to personal abdication of responsibility.
Yes, so true.
Yeah, and we really see that not only in our church but in the world.
That's so true.
Yeah,
yeah. We live in an age where that's rampant.
Yeah, and
and we need to do something about it.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like dynamic Catholics is.
Right, and in the, if you understand the new evangelization, it's really focused on Catholics.
Yes.
And bringing Catholics back into an authentic and rich practice of the faith. Because as we know, you know, a lot of Catholics are not going to Mass on a regular basis, and even a lot of those who are not that engaged.
Exactly.
And so, you know, Matthew's most recent book, Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic, talks about this, and the level of engagement. Roughly, the research that we've done indicates that roughly 7% of Catholics are, you know, giving 80% of the financial resources that the church receives and donating or volunteering,
yeah,
you know, roughly the same percentage of time. And so, you know, one of the things we're focused on is growing that 7%, because it's amazing how much the church does today with only 7% of the population,
exactly,
you know, fully engaged.
But you know, John, you hit it on the head a while back when we had this conversation. By the way, this is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and you are listening to Holy Family Radio. We welcome you here. I'm with on the phone today with John Sherman, who's part of the Dynamic Catholic Organization, with Matthew Kelly. It's wonderful to have you here, and we're talking about the Dynamic Catholic Organization. And thanks again, John, for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You know,
pleasure,
you know, you made a point when you became an evangelical, and I think this really goes to the heart of how we win back our Catholics. You said you came into a personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is something we as Catholics didn't talk about much.
No,
you know, we catechized we sacramentalized our kids, but we never developed that relationship with Christ.
Yes, and once you know him as a person, you'll never leave him.
That's right.
And so we need to focus more on that. You know, Matthew's most recent CD is called The Jesus Question.
Okay.
And, you know, Jesus asked on the road to Emmaus, you know, who do people say that I am?
That's
and then
right.
He said, who do you say that I am?
That's right.
And everybody has to answer the Jesus question. Matthew will say, you know, even if you don't answer it, you've effectively answered it.
That's right. To be undecided is to be decided.
You got to decide whether he was a lunatic, a liar, or the son of God.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
The evidence is pretty clear.
Yeah. You know, and I have to tell you, I grew up in that era of the church where we were more at Baltimore Catechism, we're catechized, but we never talked about this living relationship.
Mm,
I mean,
yes.
It's just the reality of the church back then, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying it was something that didn't happen, and because of that, we had uninformed, ill-formed Catholics coming into the church who were taken away by somebody who had this, they talk about these relationships with Jesus.
Yes. Well, and isn't it ironic that as Catholics we have the gift of the Eucharist? We can actually receive Jesus physically, the person that we wish to become.
Yes.
And so we are a Eucharistic people. We should have the deepest relationship with Jesus of any Christian, you know, population on the planet.
And John, you know as well as I do, I heard it's a popular line from one, I don't know which pastor said it, but he said, if I believed what you Catholics believed about the Eucharist, I go down that aisle on my belly.
Well, I heard that it was Gandhi who actually said that, but I'm not sure it's true. But somebody said that at one point, and it's a fact, you know?
Yeah. If we don't recognize what it is, I mean, it's almost eerie to think that you would go up and receive this, what you consider to be the body of Christ, without knowing who Christ is.
Yes,
and so
that's so true.
We need to get into that understanding of re-educating our Catholics. And it has to start within our own parishes and our own ambo and preaching.
Yes, right. And much of what we're doing at Dynamic Catholic is creating the resources for families and parishes to do that. So, you know, we understand that a little bit, John.
The
families are the first teachers of the faith.
Okay.
But let's face it, you know, historically the church, you know, we haven't provided the kinds of materials using modern technology that allows, you know, people involved in religious education and parents to, you know, to transmit the faith in ways that, you know, make the light bulb go on for our kids.
Exactly. And let me tell you this, John, and my growing up, never would there have been a Catholic radio station.
Well, that's a great example.
Talking about this, yes. I mean, this just shows you that people are alive and on fire for the church, and there needs to be, it needs to be brought to the masses.
The Ministry of Catholic Radio, what an incredible gift to the world.
Oh, it's been,
you know?
It's wonderful. I get so excited every time I get behind this microphone just to know that I'm talking to dynamic Catholic people.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, and that,
oh, I have been so blessed as a Catholic, and in my early walk, you know, by Catholic Radio and programs like Catholic Answers,
mm-hmm.
my gosh, to be able to turn on the radio and listen to those guys.
Isn't that wonderful?
And, you know, the programs that you all run every day, just life-changing.
Yeah, it is. It's inspiring, and if we change one heart at a time, praise be to God.
Amen.
Praise be
yeah,
to God.
Well,
so, you know, we've talked about the mission and the vision of the church, but I understand that there's we have a new confirmation program going on.
Right. So we are right now embarking on a journey to produce world-class programs around 10 distinctly Catholic moments in time.
Okay.
And so we believe that there's a real opportunity to evangelize people at these particular Catholic moments. And when people are coming to the church at particular moments in time, you know, the church really needs to be at the top of its game. So
yes.
when we're confirming kids and we're prepping kids for confirmation,
mm-hmm.
we need to deliver the very best confirmation preparation material that can be delivered
Amen.
To them at that moment in time. And when people are coming to baptize their new child, you know, they need to have the best understanding of the sacrament of baptism that can possibly be delivered to them at that moment in time. Because, you know, they're making a decision about whether to raise their child in the church. It's
exactly.
a lifelong decision. And it's a great opportunity to evangelize somebody. When people get married, what an incredible opportunity that is to evangelize people.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that because when I do baptisms, and there's a lot of non-Catholics who come to the baptisms.
Right.
I always take a time to explain to them what they're going to see, what it would be the water, and they see the white candle and the garment and everything else, the oils, and I give them a significance of what it means, because otherwise it's just procedure to them. And until they have an understanding of what it means that to put on that white garment, what it means to have that, to be blessed with that oil, there becomes it takes a life on it, of its own, and people start to understand the richness of the church.
Yeah, I agree totally. What an opportunity it is to help people to understand the richness of our faith and the significance of that sacrament and what a sacrament is to begin with.
Exactly.
And so we've identified these 10 distinct Catholic moments, and they are the first one that we embarked on was confirmation, and that program is called Decision Point, and it is now available to any parish and any family and any person in the country.
Okay.
And it's available either over the web, or it's available through your smart device, or it's available in hard copy, print, and DVD.
Wonderful.
And we...
What's the second?
If somebody wants to order the program okay. from us, the only cost is the shipping and the handling.
Okay, and we're going to go back through it again, too, and how they can get hold of it. I know it's dynamiccatholic.com.
It's dynamiccatholic.com, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and we want to keep giving that out because we want people to go to this resource and get what you can. But let's talk some more about these decision points.
Yes, so Decision Point is the name of the confirmation program. It's named that, you know, obviously intentionally, because we believe that it's important for kids to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to just be catechized or educated, but actually to be called to make a decision to live a particular way and to live in relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the church for the rest of their life.
Yes.
Because it brings joy and fulfillment. You know, that the secular culture, popular culture can't give.
No, exactly.
And so the second Catholic moment we're working on is First Communion and Reconciliation.
Oh.
Then we'll be doing marriage. We're going to do one on daily prayer.
Okay.
We need to get back to that.
Yes.
We're going to do one on the Mass. How incredibly important is that?
Okay.
We'll do one on birth and baptism. RCIA.
Birth and baptism?
Lent. Say again?
Did you say birth and baptism?
Birth and baptism, okay. Yep. There'll be one on RCIA, one on Lent and Easter, one on Advent and Christmas, and the last one on death and dying.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which is, you know, obviously another incredible time to evangelize people.
It is. You know, it's one of the, particularly the last one we said, the death and dying, is a time when people really have an understanding that now is the time.
They, right.
You know, and
exactly.
unfortunately, sometimes it's what it takes. But and I don't say that critically. I just say that something happens when you know that you really have to face that reality of what's next.
Right. Yeah. You can only put that off so long, right, Deacon?
Exactly. Exactly.
Eventually, we're all gonna die, and it's at that moment, you know, for a lot of people, unfortunately, they wait until that point, but that's the last opportunity we have to get right with God, so to speak, and we really shouldn't miss it.
You know, John, I tell people in the audience all the time who are listening to me, I was raised in a Greek Orthodox and Catholic household, but not a tremendously faithful Catholic. I'm a little bit like St.
Right.
Augustine, late have I loved you. The light came on to me about 15 or 20 years ago, and I'm going, where have I been?
Right.
Why did I not know this, or why wasn't I listening?
And, that's right.
And so these points you're making are phenomenal, because, you know, it really is an understanding. And I love the one about daily prayer. If you're going to have a relationship with a friend, how else would you do it except to be talking to him?
Exactly. And, you know, we, in the work that Matthew just released, Four Signs of an Inept Catholic, we know that Catholics who are fully engaged have a regular prayer life.
Yes.
They pray daily, and they have a routine within their prayer life. So
yes.
They're typically going to the same place every day. They're using the same material every day. It may be the Magnificat, but they have a discipline to their prayer life.
Of course.
And as you would expect in any relationship, right?
Exactly.
And as we develop
that prayer life, we develop this relationship, because then our life becomes a prayer.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, we live a prayer then.
We live a prayer.
Yeah.
That's right. And everything we do is a prayer.
That's wonderful. Let me ask you this question. When you were back in the Methodist and the Evangelicals, did you have a regular prayer life then?
I did have a regular prayer life. And that, you know, in evangelical communities where people are, you know, living their faith, that's obviously very strongly encouraged.
Yes.
And so I would meet, before I was married, I would meet with a group of guys every morning for daily prayer.
Wonderful. That is so important. And I hope men listening and women have an understanding. You can't do this alone. You have to find somebody to journey with you, or men to journey with you, or women to journey with you, because there's some dynamics when men and women get together, as in, you know, with men and women,
yes,
that they really connect to one another, and that love begins to grow for the love of the Lord.
Yes, and I highly encourage anybody listening to get involved in a men's or women's group, you know, in their parish. I am involved in the men's group at my parish. We meet twice a week, or twice a month, every other week. And, you know, I don't know what I would do without those guys.
Yes.
They're my accountability partners, you know, and they add such richness to my life.
To walk
through this world without those guys in my life, I can't imagine.
Exactly. We at my parish, John, we have a group called Arise. These men get together every Saturday morning, start at 6 in the morning till 8 in the morning, every Saturday
wow.
morning. And on the first Saturday of the morning, we do Eucharistic adoration together. And there's such a richness in that. And I just challenge all men to give it a try, because, you know what, it really draws you into a relationship with other men, and you realize, I'm not alone out here.
Yes, and we're made to live in community, right?
Amen.
You know, everybody today wants to say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious.
I'm
you know?
A rock
unto
myself.
I don't want to plug into anything, any kind of organized religion. Well, that's just a bunch of bunk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us grow in our faith and to keep us accountable.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
No man is an island unto themselves. And, you know, you'll often hear Matthew say, you know, the me and Jesus thing, it really doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
Because as humans, we're flawed, and we have this infinite capacity to make God in our own image, right?
And that's just what I was going to say. Once we just, you and I, Jesus, you become me. I don't become
right,
you.
Right. He starts to look a lot like me when it's just me and him.
Oh, that poor guy. If he had looked like me.
But when you go to confession, right, in the sacrament of reconciliation, you understand that, no, he's not like me.
Yeah. And now, it's funny you said that, because that's the next question I was going to ask you. Going back to your evangelical days and your Methodist days, reconciliation had to be one of those times you say, man, can I do this?
You know, you were asking me, what were the teachings that I had a hard time getting over when I came into the church?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that the sacrament of reconciliation was the most powerful experience pretty much in my entire life, I have to say. I mean, to go in there and know that the priest, in the person of Jesus,
in persona,
is listening to my sins and hearing them and forgiving them. I mean, you walk out of there, and you really do. You are a new person.
Here's the caveat to that. People are listening will say, how can a priest forgive your sins? And I tell them, through his ordination, the church bestows upon him in persona until Christ returns, the grace to forgive sins, because Jesus said, whatever sins you forgive on earth are forgiven in heaven.
Yes.
And so it's really an understanding of sitting in persona in because of his ordination.
Yes.
Yes.
Because of his priestly ordination.
Yes.
And, right, and his sacred role within the church. And we need to pray for our priests, and we need more priests.
Yep.
And, you know,
amen.
I can't imagine life without them. Obviously, we can't have the Eucharist without them.
That's right.
And the sacrament of reconciliation is just an amazing experience.
And, you know, it really, and I say this and lovingly, it's a humbling experience also.
To go before another human being.
And again, these priests are, your sins are as far as east and west once you go in there, because they're listening to you, not concentrating on the sin, but to absolve you of that sin.
Yes, and as I've grown deeper in my Catholic faith, I realize, you know, how much of it is important and relevant to my role as a father in my own household.
Yes, yes.
And the way that I, you know, forgive my kids. And hold them accountable. And, you know, when somebody makes a sincere confession for whatever, you know, it should be forgotten.
Exactly.
And you start over.
And, you know,
the
beautiful part about our Catholic faith is we have the assurance that we're forgiven.
Amen.
But when you just say, I'm going to go to Jesus, you know, that is wonderful that you go to Jesus, but you don't have that same sense of assurance. That,
no.
You know, that's one thing we're assured of in our Catholic faith. If we make a valid sacramental confession, we are forgiven.
Amen.
And I stand on that.
You can actually hear it. Yeah. You can be told it, and it's real.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this question. Talking about all these changes in your life, and you've got family, you've got a wife, you've got children. How did they take the news when you came home and said, I'm selling my business and I'm going to work for Matthew? I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a...
Well, it's interesting. You know, we talk about faith every day with our kids, you know?
Sure.
And my wife and I do. It literally is part of our life. It's ingrained in our life. And so, you know, my wife was starting to get the sense that I wasn't completely fulfilled, you know, as an individual. You know, I always wanted to be self-employed, and I felt like it was, you know, something that I wanted to do for so long and finally made it happen. So isn't it interesting that shortly after it happens, I give it up, you know?
Yeah.
But because that in itself, for me personally, was a pretty big accomplishment to be able to, you know, bring home the bacon and
of
do
course.
It on your own every day. But my wife knew that I wasn't fulfilled, and, you know, she knew that I wanted to do something to help, you know, advance the mission of the church. And so, you know, I recall, you know, she would say, well, you met with Matthew Kelly, didn't you? And, you know, she's going, oh, boy, I know where this is leading, you know. And so it's no surprise to her, and it's no surprise to my kids.
Yeah. She must have been reading 1 Corinthians, love is kind, love is patient, love wants the best for the other.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's so great to come home from work, right, and to be able to talk about what we do,
yeah,
what you do, what we do at Dynamic Catholic, because it's so much more than you know, an ordinary job. Not that we can't become saints through our ordinary work, obviously, you know, that's a big part of our faith, but to actually be involved every day in a ministry that's focused on bringing people closer to God and in relationship to Him through the church, what an incredible place to be.
What could be better? And, you know, when you, and I'll say this in lovingly too, when you have, when you're yoked to a spouse who also wants that, it makes life absolutely joyful.
Oh, yeah. It's not, there's no stress or tension there. I traveled a fair amount when I was in the corporate world, so my wife has always done a great job with the kids when I'm not there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, without that support, though, I couldn't do what I'm doing.
Exactly, exactly. So
I couldn't do it.
Let's turn to the dollars and cents of what we're talking about here, because obviously it takes money to run these ministries.
Oh, of course, and your ministry too.
Of course,
and you know, we have a responsibility as Christians to be generous,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And generous people are the happiest people on the planet.
Amen.
We know that. You know, one of the gentlemen in our ministry, Alan Hunt, who's also a convert to the faith, was the pastor of a mega church in Atlanta.
Now, do you have any cradle Catholics there?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good. Okay.
Matthew Kelly.
Oh, good.
No, but we have others there too. But anyway, so Alan Hunt just released a book called Life's Greatest Lesson.
Okay.
Which is, you know, about generosity, and you know, if anybody's interested in a fabulous book about giving and how life-changing, you know, giving and generosity are, I recommend that book. It's available obviously on the website as well, DonYancyCatholic.com.
Alan Hunt wrote this book.
Alan Hunt wrote this book. Alan Hunt also wrote the book Confessions of a Megachurch Pastor.
Oh.
You know, which is would be a great read for any Catholic who's searching, because to hear the story of a Protestant who becomes Catholic, you know, can be so invigorating or so influential to a cradle Catholic.
Yes, it can. Have you ever heard Jeff Caven's story, who was Catholic, became a Protestant pastor, and came back to the Catholic Church? He's out of Stevens also.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a number of folks like him who have a similar story.
Wonderful.
And, you know, those stories are very inspiring.
Yes. Yes, they are. It's wonderful. So when you're calling people, and obviously, you know, you're calling them for a financial support.
Yes.
What typically is the response for something like this?
You know, as Catholics, we have some growing to do in the area of giving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the people I talk to are receptive, and open and interested in what we're doing. You know, sometimes people are more inclined to give to ministries in their local community.
Exactly.
And we have to help them understand that, you know, our ministry is a support to your parish. In other words, we're producing material that you're going to give, that your kids are going to see, and that are going to it's going to evangelize them.
Yes.
Or we're producing books that you're going to give away to your fellow parishioners at Christmas to help energize your parish. And we have, you know, great data to support the fact that if you give away a great Catholic book or CD every year at Christmas, it'll change the culture of your parish.
You're absolutely
and
correct.
And so, you know, oftentimes I have to help them understand that the ministry we're involved in is impacting your church on a local level.
Yes. So when,
because that's where they live, you know?
Of course. So when Matthew Kelly goes to one of the parishes, I'm sure he brings all the literature with him and the books.
Oh, yeah. So, like at the event in Rockford, you know, we had tons of books and CDs for sale. And, you know, during the breaks, you know, people were buying books and CDs.
Right.
You know, for themselves and for others.
Good. We love it.
We saw your radio station represented there, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
You think we'd miss that?
I know.
No,
I know. 1,000 Catholics in one place. Great place to be.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we're going to be at our Catholic Men's Conference. We're expecting about 1,500 men at our Catholic Men's Conference this March. We do it the first week weekend of Lent, and we bring Holy Family Radio in there also and interview the people coming in there, because it's really it's a dynamic time when you get men. You know what it's like when men get together.
Oh, yeah.
There's a
passion there.
Yeah, there's the dynamics to it, and to hear men sing together and lift their voices to the Lord is a powerful understanding of what it means to be Catholic. And I have to tell you, going back to reconciliation, some of the priests tell us they never hear more powerful confessions than during those conferences, because some men haven't gone for years.
Oh, I'm sure, and there's a lot of tears shed, and there's nothing more humbling than to see a man, you know, humbled and brought to tears.
Yes, and then they need the literature that you're talking about, because they need they need to be validated about what they're feeling and what's going through their hearts right then, because we men, you know, we get a little weepy. We don't know why we're doing it.
And, yes, and in that regard, you know, obviously we have a lot of material to help people grow in that area. And I would recommend the confirmation program that we just released to any man and any Catholic. In other words, it's not just for teenagers.
Right.
I can't tell you how many people have called or written to our ministry and said, you know, we're using this in our adult faith formation group.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, there's no reason why, you know, why it couldn't be used and shouldn't be used in that venue. And also, you know, for any new Catholic or anyone who's looking to learn more about the Catholic faith, you know, Matthew's book, Rediscover Catholicism, is just an incredible work.
Yes. Matter of fact, I can't say I've read the whole thing, but I've read part of it. I got sidetracked for whatever reason, but it was beautiful to read.
That book has influenced the lives of literally millions and millions of Catholics.
Oh, my goodness. How long has Matthew Kelly been doing this?
So Matthew's 41 now, and he started speaking and writing at 19.
Wow.
And so he's been doing it for more than half his life. And, you know, he's spoken to over 5 million people in 50 countries. And
isn't that amazing?
And, yeah, we're so blessed to have him in the church.
You know, and we did talk prior before coming on, John. I know he used to do a lot of conferences because he was at ours. But you said he's changing the venue a little bit, doing more parish work.
Right. So most of the speaking he does now is to large groups at parishes. And he'll speak to sometimes three parishes in a weekend. You know, he'll speak on a Friday night, he'll speak on a Saturday morning, and on a Saturday night. In fact, when he was in Rockford, he spoke to Rockford, about 1,000 people at Our Lady of Consolation in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then he went across the state to Bloomfield Hills and spoke to another 1,200 people that night.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's a beautiful area. If you're familiar with that area, Bloomfield Hills, it's a beautiful area.
Oh yeah.
And so what is your calendar and his calendar look like now for the next couple months?
So you can, when you go to our website, you can see where Matthew Kelly is going to be at any given weekend through the end of 2015.
Oh, wonderful. John, what I want to do now is I want to get people to understand how they can get hold of you again or get hold of your organization, because this is vitally important. This is really this is catechesis at its finest. This is really bringing people into I won't say, you know, it's not like reading canon law or even the catechism. This is really bringing it down to a level where people can really get into their faith.
I would encourage, anybody who's not currently involved with our ministry to go online to dynamiccatholic.com and join the Ambassador Club. The minimum contribution is $10 a month.
Okay.
But when you join the Ambassador Club, you know, you'll get regular spiritual food from Dynamic Catholic. You get a daily email. You can listen to a conference call every month that Matthew records for all the ambassadors, which is an incredible experience once a month to be able to, you know, hear from Matthew and, you know, to listen to what's going on in our ministry. You know, you'll get a book from us every year. And you'll be supporting the great work of Dynamic Catholic. I would recommend that people who haven't already ordered it go online and order our new confirmation program, Decision Point, and then go to the events page on the website to see where Matthew Kelly is or Alan Hunt or any of the other speakers that speak under the Dynamic Catholic umbrella to find where those speakers are going to be. And if they're going to be near you, go and see one.
Absolutely. Well, you know, John, you've given us a wealth of information here, and we so much appreciate it, because in this world today where, like I said, we're losing our Catholics, we need to re-energize it and bring them back into the faith. And the only way I know to do it is through education. And,
that's right.
And then, you know, we plant and we water, and God makes it grow. And really what you're doing is you're planting and you're watering, and thanks be to God you're doing it.
Well, we're all on the same team, Deacon Jim. We really appreciate what you're doing, too, and thanks be to God.
You're welcome. So, listen, we're going to wish you all the best. It's been so enjoyable having you on here. Tell Matthew Kelly we appreciate all his efforts and what you're doing. We particularly appreciate your efforts, John, because the development, as a development officer, we know what it's like to raise money, and that's not always the easiest thing, but thanks be to God you're there to do it.
Amen, brother. Thank you. It's been a joy talking to you.
Thank you. And I will thank all our listeners here at Holy Family Radio, and I wish you a beautiful day, and may God bless. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.